This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. It started with 60 cows, but now it has 6,000. You'll probably know the name Farm Fresh Milk when you get your supply of milk. And it's been a while since we last spoke. Catching up on what's been happening and changing trends, I'm speaking to Loy Tuan Yee on new developments at the Holstein Milk Company. So good to be speaking to you again, Mr. Loy. Now, this started because, there were not many dairy products in Malaysia at one time was made from recycled milk or flour. And so you decided to buy a small plot of land in Johor and import 16 Holstein Jersey cows from Australia. And now you're located in six areas and you've got, 6,000 cows, right? What's it like to manage these dairy farms, you know, starting from 60 to so many cows now?
Well, thank you, Frida, for having me. Well, time flies real quick. 9 years already, yes. Since we last spoke.
Yes, yes.
In fact, through fast track today, from 60 cows, from one farm, today we have grown to six farms, five in Malaysia and one in Australia. So we added extra farm in Pahang, and then Johor we added one more, and then we also have one in UPM, which is our showcase farm. And presently we are in the midst of developing our Taiping farm, which is a mega farm as well. So fast track today we have about 6,000 of them in Malaysia. Obviously, the chores of managing these 6,000 ladies is not easy. A lot of work, you just have to make sure that, the amount of time. And I think the team have also grown a fair bit as well. I think over the years, I think through our earlier experience, so we also developed a very strong, dedicated team that, everyone is aware, a happy and healthy cow only can produce yummy milk. So I think that has been the cause in terms of how we actually expand our business, yeah.
Right, so the 6,000 ladies you have to handle in Malaysia. Now, what's very interesting is that you work with Khazanah and Endeavour, right? So let's start with Khazanah, right? How do they support you?
Wow, I think I was very fortunate that I have Khazanah backing. As you said, earlier days when you want to be in a livestock business, fundings are really not easy. Yeah. The SIG fundings part of it is very, very challenging. So we were very privileged that we have gotten Khazanah backing in that sense. So that itself also, I think it's a game changer for us that we're able to continue to grow the company. And then I think they devote a lot of time and lending us their ears to hear our problem and then to actually, in a way that, helping us to see to where we are today. So today, I think we for fresh milk category, we have more than 50% of market share. And I remember 9 years ago, when I speak to you, we were like doing a 9 million ringgit business a year. And 9 years later, we are doing like 9 million a week. So you can imagine the kind of quantum that, the business have grown. So I think in the aspect of it, I think a lot of things have changed in terms of how we run our companies, in terms of the operations. It was a very, very different scale by now.
Right. Obviously, from 60 to 6,000 is obviously a different scale. And obviously, a lot more in Australia, right? So I understand that working with them, you also help home agents, right? How do these home agents work and how do you support them?
Yeah, I think a home agent is something that the idea was conceived between Asmi and myself. We were thinking that, how we actually wanted to reach out to more customers beside the modern trade. Historically, we have always very involved in modern trade. Basically, you can find our product in Tesco or in Giants and Giant Grocer and things alike. So, however, four or five years ago, we started to realize that there could be opportunities whereby we develop this micro entrepreneur. Become our home agent, they service the communities within their areas, So that was how we actually conceptualized the idea to start doing it. But little did we expect that it was a spot-on model. and it did very well. So I think we started with only a handful of them. Today we got about more than 2,000, you know, across Malaysia, including Sabah, Sarawak as well. And one thing that is very important that came out of it is that I think in our belief to how to create wealth along the value chain, you know, it's not like, you know, in any company, you can make a lot of money, but at the same time, you know, do you actually, what is your social contribution? How do you impact somebody else's life, for example? But I think in our case, I think we realized that it was a very good program. It is very, very good for the company as well, how we actually create some of this wealth along the value chain. And then we develop all these micro entrepreneurs. Essentially, 95% of them are mostly housewives, for example. So they are able to make a living out of it. So it is different that, you know, you can give them money, 500, 1,000, one time, and you cannot get. But in our case, is that we actually teach them how to become a businesswoman.
Right.
And in a way that, you know, they actually go out to sell our product and then they make a living. So I think that is really life-changing in that sense. I think because of that, I think Khazanah also sort of the view that, you know, this is something that it doesn't cost the government any money, for example. Right? But at the same time, you know, it's such a high impact in terms of the social impact. So I think this is where I think we kind of like see our company in the sense that, you know, socially, you know, we are also contributing as well.
Right. It's so interesting, right? Because you're not just giving them fish, but you're, you know, teaching them how to fish. In this case, you're not giving them milk, you're giving them a cow.
they were them help themselves right. Around the town, you know.
And you're saying most of them are women, huh?
All right, yeah, most of them are women, you know. So I think those additional income, whether it's 800 or 1,000 ringgit or 2,000 ringgit, additional household disposal income to help their family, it means a lot to them. And clearly, when you go to a smaller town, for example, right. That amount is a big amount to them.
Right. What about your working with Endeavor? How do they support you?
Yeah, Endeavor has been a great organization. You know, I think I'm with them for almost like 6 years already, since the earlier years. Obviously, I got a lot of assistance from them in earlier years, in particular relates to our mentor program, that whereby, you know, things that I wasn't very sure I can just give them a call, you know, I need some advice on this, on that, for example. And then they will link me up to the right people and for me to hear, you know, their opinion. Sometimes, you see, as you grow the business, I think in our case, we are very focused. So something you lead to a kind of a tunnel vision that, you know, you only see things in your own perspective and you get too engrossed with what you're doing. And I think there is a risk that, you know, the other people view or, you know, the external view how you should look at your business directions. I think it's good to get mentors that is good to actually offer you their view and then get you to think, you know, from a different perspective. So I think Endeavor has played a very important role in whenever when I needed help.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the pandemic, right? How did that affect your business in the terms of distribution? I'm sure the home agents were affected as well.
Okay, this is a very interesting subject because no one expects a pandemic COVID situation like that. It was not in any textbook or anything that we ever seen like that on this scale. So now, surprisingly, what actually came out of COVID-19 really, actually, I think it actually fortified our thinking, you know, in a sense that when we set out to do this business, we are of the view that, you know, we wanted to build a business that is very, very resilient. Mm-hmm. And then very, very sustainable as well. So the offering of simple fresh milk to families of Malaysian, you know, to offer to their kids is a very basic, essential, nutritious that you can offer to your kids at a very affordable price. So now, in the past years, you know, 9 years, 10 years ago, that thinking was proven correct. You know, in a bad time, we actually grow. During the good time, we also grow. And surprisingly, in the midst of pandemic, we still grow, you know. So we look at our 2019 numbers and our 2020 numbers. You'll be surprised that we actually still grown 60%.
Wow.
It's a very, very big growth rate. Despite the fact is that we have a major setback on the cafe market, you know, the boba tea, the restaurants and things like that. Part of the business actually collapses because of the lockdowns and things like that. So I think we actually suffer a bit there because we do have a significant amount of 15% of our business coming from this segment. However, in-home consumption actually grew so much that it well compensated for what we lost on the breakdown market. And our, because of this, I think our home dealer system actually served us even better because a lot of customers were just, you know, order directly from them and then they will be able to deliver themselves, you know, directly to their home. So I think it was actually a plus point to us rather than otherwise. Yeah.
All right. And of course, we'll be talking about changing trends in just a moment. I'm here with Lloyd Van Yee from the Holstein Milk Company. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Buggy Free Minum, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Lloyd Tuan Yi from the Holstein Milk Company. You would recognize this brand if you go and buy your milk, and they're known as Farm Fresh Milk. You know, Mr. Lloyd, you know, when you look at what's happening around the world, right, and people have their comments and views on dairy farms contributing to carbon emissions, right? What are your thoughts around that?
Now, I think this is a very interesting subject that we have actually put a lot of thoughts into it as well. So I think to do dairy farming in a sustainable manner has always been our priority over the years. You know, as we grow, we also have to ensure that we grow in a sustainable manner. Now, with regards to, you know, dairy farm or dairy cow being put as a culprit for, you know, having the CO2 emissions contributions, the methane gas and things like that, I think there are also others. Point of view as well, you know, in a sense that how do you rethink methane gas, for example. So I think methane gas itself, if you say that, you know, the cow, you know, methane gas, there is actually a cycle. I think it's about 10-year cycle, according to the California's one of the university researches, that it's a natural thing that it goes up, and then when it becomes, methane gas becomes CO2 and come back to the soil, and then the plant will actually absorb them into the soil and then produce the grass, and then the cow eat it. So it's like a 10-year cycle. So if you don't add any capacity, so that it will go on their own natural way. Vis-a-vis a fossil CO2 emission, for example, it takes thousands of years to be dissolved. So that kind of emission is accumulation, you know. So if you look at it, in fact, that is far worse than what our cow actually produce milk for our human being. But that is a very, very scientific subject which I not want to go in to debate about it. In our farm, for example, we take sustainable farming in a very serious manner, in a sense that we invest a lot of money to ensure that, you know, our cow manures and all these things are all processed in such a way that, you know, that we invest on a separator to separate the solids between the slurry and the solid. So what those solids that we extracted, we actually feed to a worm, we call it the charging wormy culture, whereby they actually then go on to convert to become a compost, right, a worm compost. So this compost we then actually feed back to the our pasture, a few hundred acres of our land, to ensure that we nourish the soil. You can't just take them out of the soil without nourishing back the soil. The other way that if you want to nourish them, which I wouldn't use the word nourish, you actually have to put a chemical fertilizer. And you're actually poisoning the soil again, because not only the soil get hardened and more detroit the condition, it also that, you know, when rain, you know, you have this kind of leaching to the river and things like that. So in our case, but because we are able to give the organic compost back to the soil, we save about 2-3 million ringgit a year with the chemical fertilizer. So the soil also get more nourished, you know, and produce good grass for our cow. So then the water, the manure, the urine water, we actually spend a lot of money on irrigation to make sure that they are all being pumped across the farm to irrigate the grass. Not only the grass get the nutrient of the manure water, but it also grow better, and then we don't have to waste any other water. So it's like a one cycle, you know, one cycle. So So this is how we actually look in such a way that, you know, it has to be in a sustainable manner.
Right. And so it's about sustainable farming practices. So a lot of the problems that you would say would have arisen because a lot of people don't practice sustainable farming practices. You know, they put in so many things. I want to move on to the other thing as well. I know you've introduced other kinds, other than fresh milk. You've got your milk with chocolate milk. You've got your milk with kurma and all that, which I have tried and I like it. But also the rise of veganism, right? The rise of veganism. What do you say about that?
Now, I think while we are very, very focused on our dairy, and by the way, thank you for supporting our chocolate and kurma milk. I'm sure you like it. So here we are. You know, I think we are very, very much a dairy company. But notwithstanding the fact is that, as I say, that we are also mindful that how the world will evolve, how the world will change, for example. So at least vegan and people who prefer plant-based meal or whether it's the plant-based meat or whatever you want to call it, I think this is something that, you know, is there and is there not going to go away. So in our case is that, I mean, while we're doing what we want, we also want to be mindful on the changing trend. So in this case, I think last year, what we realized that, you know, that the almond meal, the oatmeal, soy meal, and all. Soy meal has been there for a long, long time, which we have. But then I think the oatmeal and the almond meal is something that we should be launched last year. So this is something that we also wanted to position our company, you know, in the sense that if you are lactose intolerant or if you really don't like dairy for whatever reason, you know, well, we have the oat and the almond milk for you to choose as well. And we should actually make it a very, very affordable as compared to those imported whereby, you know, it's so overpriced. So I think we produce a very good range of, we also have unsweetened almond as well, depends on what you want. And that is a product that I personally think that, you know, in the coming years, it will grow and it will probably end up quite an important division of SKU.
Right. For is that your own farm or is that being outsourced at the moment?
For almond
milk and all that, where are you getting them?
No, so I say for almond and oat, what we did is that the ingredients are coming from Australia because I think we think that that is one of the better ingredients from Australia. So what we did is that we bring those grains in and we actually do our productions in Malaysia. Yeah.
Right. And it's so interesting. So, you know, you have to sort of change and also provide this alternative for people, right? Will you be looking at other byproducts like cheese, perhaps?
I think for cheese, probably it's not something that immediately we'll be looking at. But I think to go on to do, for example, a plant-based yogurt, right? Now it's just traditionally just a liquid drinking milk, you know. So we were thinking that, you know, the next on our cupboard is, in our drawing board, it would be to come up with the plant-based yogurt, for example, it's oat-based or things like that. So this is another category that and developing, and then also because of our Australian investment, we are able to procure, because beside the farm that we are very dependent on 90% by those ladies from their farm on the other side, we also have a processing plant in Australia that, you know, to facilitate to send back all the fresh ingredient back to Malaysia for us to grow. So because of that ability, we are also able to procure the organic milk from Australia. And then we are also sending back the organic milk to Malaysia to actually come up with additional SKU, which is we market it under the Henry Jones Australian Organic Milk from Malaysia. At very affordable price again.
Right. So it's exciting things have happened in the last 10 years. I mean, from, I know it's a great story because, you know, from 60 cows to 6,000 plus cows. You know, what's next for Farm Fresh, the Holstein company? What are the plans to scale?
Yeah, I think as you know that, you know, the dairy industries, when particularly when you're talking about fully integrated, they are very capital intensive as well. So obviously, you know, we are also on the lookout for any possible corporate exercise that, you know, that we can raise more money from the market and then to enable us to expand our company. So, and then again, the reason was looking at it is that you do not want to miss opportunities, for example, and if the demands are there, for example. So looking at it, you know, next year or maybe end of this year, we are coming out with the kids milk, for example, fortified kids milk, you know, for the growing up children as well. So these are all the SKU that we are looking at to develop, but they all involve a lot of additional capacity, which is very, very high in capital expenditure.
Right, yeah. Okay. And maybe you can list your company, Mr. Loy?
Sure. Yeah, that is something that we will certainly explore as one of the options, right. You know, for example. So I think that is something that we will explore.
All right. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I've been speaking to Loy Tuan Yee from the Holstein Milk Company. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.